Our brother has spoken to us of vessels of mercy, and I'd like to briefly read some scriptures on two, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. But I'd like to start by reading in the book of Ezra, chapter 5. And I'm going to turn quickly in the interest of time, so you can just listen if you don't want to turn to them all. Ezra 5 and 15. And he said unto him, take these vessels, go carry them into the temple that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be builded in his place. Chapter 6 in verse 5, Ezra 6 verse 5. And also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple which is at Jerusalem, and brought unto Babylon, be restored and brought again unto the temple which is at Jerusalem, every one to his place, and place them in the house of God. We sang that beautiful hymn on the church of God. And God's purpose is to have his own around himself in the glory. Some from every kindred and tribe and people and nation. And the day is soon coming when we will all be gathered home to the Father's house. And these vessels were taken by Nebuchadnezzar, and they were removed, but they were told to take them and carry them to the temple and let the house of God be builded in his place. And these vessels were to be restored and brought again unto the temple, every one to his place, and place them in the house of God. We know from 2 Timothy that we are to be a vessel unto honor. That is God's purpose for us, to be a vessel unto honor. In the interest of time, I'll just briefly read. There are two. One is a major role, one is a minor role. One was a leader, one was a follower, one was Old Testament, one was New Testament. Every one of us, small, great, old, and young, has a place. We are all vessels. Could you turn with me or at least listen while I read Philemon, chapter, verse 23, the book of Philemon, little letter. Philemon 23. We'll start just to make a connection, the end of verse 22. Philemon, the end of verse, the middle of verse 22. I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. My fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. In the book of Ephesians, which has the highest truth, we find twice Paul calls himself a prisoner. In chapter 3 and verse 1 of Ephesians, he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. In chapter 4 and verse 1, he is a prisoner of the Lord. There, where the highest truth is revealed, the Apostle Paul identifies himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ and a prisoner of the Lord. Well, here's a fellow prisoner. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. We've been speaking in Philippians 1 about a prayer to prove the things that were excellent. Colossians 4 and verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Epaphras, who was a fellow prisoner, here he's identified as a servant of Christ, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. What more could we ask or pray for anyone in this room, any loved one, anyone dear to us, than to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God? He was a prisoner, and he was a servant of Christ. He kept Paul company. You know, we sometimes think, well, what can I do? I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do the other thing. There's no use. What's the point? Every one of us are a vessel. There are things that God has given, God has entrusted to us, and we can do them. We have a prisoner, and we have a prayer, and then we have a work. And Romans 13, in verse 11, I think about this in the context of our present day. Romans 13 and verse 11, and that knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation. We've mentioned that a number of times at this conference, our salvation. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. What a time we live in. How much we need the armor of light to cast off the work of darkness. Well, I've mentioned someone who's had a minor role, and I'd like to mention someone who had more of a major role, and I'm just going to read a handful of verses, phrases from Nehemiah chapter 4 and chapter 6, and I'd like to briefly reflect on the comment our brother Eric made about the recovery that he mentioned of the different kings, Hezekiah and Josiah and Nehemiah. In chapter 30 of 2 Chronicles, there's a recovery. And if you look back a chapter, you see that they purified the temple of the Lord. In chapter 35, there's a recovery. You look back and you see they recovered the scriptures. In Nehemiah chapter 8, there's a recovery. And you look back and they built the wall and they read the scriptures. So we need in our time for there to be a work of revival, even if in our own soul, our own home, our own assembly, our own community, there needs to be a purification of our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need a turn to the scriptures, and we need careful separation. And then we need a turn to the scriptures to guide us as to what needs to be done. In Nehemiah chapter 4, or just read parts of a few verses. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. For the people had a mind to work. Verse 9, nevertheless we made our prayer unto our God, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said that strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Verse 15, and it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the time of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which builded on the wall, and they which bare burdens, every one those which laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with his other hand held a weapon. Verse 19, and I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. Our God shall fight for us. Chapter 6 of Nehemiah. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should I leave the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. And then further down in the chapter, the end of verse 7, come now therefore and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. And then in verse 16, and it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. So we have Epaphras, who was a prisoner, and he was a companion, and he had a prayer that they would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, a minor player. Here's more of a major player, but what did he do? He turned repeatedly again and again, and he spoke specifically to God, asked for help. The work was great. They tried to lure him away. They tried to keep him from doing what God had called him to do. But God wanted every vessel to be put back in the right place. He wanted every protection for the people of God. He wanted them to walk in obedience to the truth revealed divinely. And the enemy would continually challenge them, berate them, scold them, ridicule them, lure them again and again and again, using just about every tactic known to man. There's a great book on Ezra and Nehemiah by Dennett. It goes through every single point on this. It's really enlightening on this Ezra and Nehemiah. But at the very end, they saw, they were cast down, they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. What you and I do in our homes, in our workplaces, in our communities, when we travel, it may seem very small, very insignificant. It may seem like Epaphras just keeping Paul company in jail, suggesting a prayer. It may seem very small, but not to God. Every one of those vessels was important. It counts them, it numbers them, it identifies them, the gold, the silver, all the different things. They were all precious to the heart of God. In each one of us, we are precious to the heart of God. I'd like to close with just reading one more prayer. We read a prayer in Philippians 1 in our reading, and Colossians 4 in Ephesians chapter 1. Just read this and sit down. A prayer of the Apostle Paul. Ephesians 1 and 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in our prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." We all have a place in that body. May we fulfill that which God has called us to and do that little work in the time remaining until our Lord comes for us.